WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
Yo, Christopher, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
At the end of last week's episode of The Sopranos, Tony Soprano's nephew and protege, Christopher Moltisanti, was shot several times by two young guys who worked for him. So what's going to happen to Christopher? My guest is the actor who plays him, Michael Imperioli. He's not about to divulge any Sopranos secrets, but we will get a chance to find out more about the show and about Michael Imperioli's work. Imperioli has appeared in over 30 films, including Goodfellas, Jungle Fever, Clockers, Household Saints, and I Shot Andy Warhol. He co-wrote and executive produced Spike Lee's Summer of Sam. Imperioli's character on The Sopranos, Christopher, likes to go his own way, and that always creates a lot of tension between him and his uncle. A couple of episodes ago, Christopher didn't show up to Tony's son's confirmation. When Christopher showed up later for the party, Tony was pretty angry.
Where the f*** you been?
It's for AJ.
I got one son and you miss his confirmation ceremony?
I figure with all my sins, I don't want the church caving in on everyone. No lectures, all right, Tony? I'm not in the mood.
I agree. I'm gonna go back in there and be with my guests. Exactly 10 minutes, I'm gonna look up. If you're not here, I'm gonna assume that you went to look for whatever the f*** it is that's calling you out there. And that I will never see you again. If you are still here, then I'm going to assume that you got no other desire in the world but to be with me, and your actions will show me that every f***ing second of every f***ing day. Now, you understand me? Don't answer me. Take the 10 minutes. You think about it.
I asked Michael Imperioli to tell us more about his character on The Sopranos.
I'm kind of a younger, more hot-headed, impulsive, young mobster who wants to be made into the mafia, which means officially become a member and go through the oath and ritual, which assures you a lifetime place in that family. And often my attempts to do that kind of backfire and cause me to get into more trouble. But he's a hard worker, and I think he has a good heart.
When you started working on The Sopranos, was most of your knowledge about the mob from movies and TV shows?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had done a couple of roles, and for those roles, I did a lot of research. So, I mean, the territory was not unfamiliar because of that, because of the research that I did and just the history of, how the mob began and, took root in New York and then in the rest of the country, from like the 20s, I guess, onward. So I was familiar with that stuff, and I guess just the life and the kind of characterizations and the type of people is something that I was familiar with from growing up.
What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
I grew up in a mostly Italian neighborhood in Mount Vernon, which is right on the border of the Bronx in New York.
Were there guys who were rumored to be in the mafia, or guys who you knew for sure were?
There were guys who were connected to them, but not guys who, I would say, like were made guys who were part of the family that lived in my immediate neighborhood. No.
And what was your attitude toward them? Were there people you looked up to or people you wanted to stay away from?
Well, when we were kids growing up, the Godfather was like hero. You know, that was hero worship to us. The Godfather kind of made us proud to be Italian because, I mean, we didn't look at them, those characters, as just violent, criminals. We looked at them with appreciation because of their sense of being empowered in American society and being able to kind of take the law into their own hands. And we also were attracted to these bonds of loyalty and blood, blood, family, that version of blood, and tradition. We actually had a sense of pride about those characters. And I think that's why a lot of that a lot of people still, you know, I guess look up to that movie. They feel something for these characters. They don't feel a revulsion for these characters. They really feel like a respect and an admiration for just the way they treated each other and the way they looked at what their lives were about.
When you said that you did research on the mob, did you try to go out and meet guys who were connected or just read books?
Well, no, it's more like reading books and kind of observing, you know, going to certain places and observing. I would never, like, seek out people that I didn't know and try to, you know. Also, yeah, I don't really know who these people are. I mean, I wouldn't know where to. I mean, you can see, like, they used to show the social club that Gotti, you know, worked out of in Little Italy. Everyone kind of knew where that was, but I would never think of going, knocking on the door and saying, I'm an actor doing a movie. I'd love to talk to you guys. I mean, you know, there's certain clubs or restaurants where people of that world may frequent, and you can go and try to absorb
Did you do that?
Drink up. Yeah, I did that at different times.
If you're just joining us, my guest is actor Michael Imperioli, one of the stars now of The Sopranos. He plays Christopher Moltisanti, Tony Soprano's nephew and soldier. When we left off in The Sopranos, your character was shot at the end of the episode. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to him, whether he'll pull through. And if he does, how this is going to change his life, his attitudes, his health. When did you know that your character was going to be shot?
I think I knew that about a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Gee, I'm really surprised. I wouldn't have thought that they'd think it through that completely. I mean, that far along.
Oh, they think it through very completely.
Uh-huh. Well, when you're shot, you don't know whether you're getting written out of the series or not. Or did they tell you that you weren't?
I had no idea. I didn't know what they were doing. And I still don't. You know, we taped two different versions of the rest of the season. One where I live and one where I die. And I don't know which one they're going to go with on the air.
Seriously?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, you know what? We're all sworn to secrecy.
Right. Other things you've had to learn to do for The Sopranos that you haven't had to do before, even things like saying in a really, you know, whiny, annoyed way, what? I didn't get that quite right, but...
Oh, that's from being, you know, Italian-American and, you know, a New Yorker. He's from New Jersey, my character, but it's pretty much the metropolitan area there. That I don't have to work on.
Mm-hmm.
That's in there.
What
I did
have to work
I
on,
did
yeah.
have to get a driver's license though,
right? Because you're the driver in it.
And I never really knew how to drive. I actually smashed a car during the shooting of the pilot, during a take.
Who taught you to drive?
I took lessons,
like from a Joe's driving school kind of place, or
yeah, in Manhattan, which is
oh
like
Manhattan's
probably
awful to learn to drive
the worst
in.
Place. My first lesson, the guy comes to my house, picks me up. At the time, I was living on the block, it was 54th Street near Lexington, which at the time was the worst block in the city for traffic. He picks me up in the middle of the day in the afternoon, says, okay, get in and drive. I'm like, what? In this? And the traffic wasn't even moving. It was horrendous. But now I drive.
Do you drive in Manhattan?
No, I drive on the show. I don't really drive in real life because I don't have enough experience.
My guest is Michael Imperioli, and he plays Christopher Moltisanti in The Sopranos, Tony Soprano's nephew and soldier. Before The Sopranos, you had a small part in Goodfellas,
yeah.
One of Martin Scorsese's movies about the mob, about people at the lower echelon. Describe your part in Goodfellas.
I played a kid who worked in the social club where these wise guys hung out, and you know when young kids do that kind of job, they do anything from like sweeping up to, you know, going to make food runs or make coffee or bring coffee. Or in the movie specifically, you see me serving drinks at a card game. I may go buy them a sandwich if they wanted it, or make them a sandwich for the card game, or you know, clean up when they're done and do whatever they need. And kind of like a gopher of sorts. That was my character. His name was Spider.
And you get shot.
Yeah, well, that was based on a true story, apparently. from what I understand, that there was a character who was this kid, and one of the guys kind of was getting a little hot under the collar and was fooling around and wanted me to, like, in an old Western, you know, move a little quicker. So he was shooting the ground. He wound up shooting me in the foot. And then in the next scene, he's kind of bothering me and saying, come on, you know, kind of doing the same thing. And I have this huge bandage on my foot. And I get upset and kind of tell him to go, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he gets really upset and winds up killing me. But it's kind of, it happens right in the middle of the movie, and it's, I think, there was no reason really for me to my character to die, and it kind of really showed, that was Joe Pesci who shot my character in the movie, and it was a point in the movie where it really kind of shows he's taken a turn into, like, I guess, depravity, where he's really, it's not about business anymore, it's really, he's just kind of becoming psychotic, where he's just killing whoever he wants to for whatever reason.
Let's hear an excerpt of that scene.
Even though you got that, you could dance, huh? Give us a couple of f***ing steps here, Spider. Bullshit for you. Tell the truth, you're looking for sympathy. Is that it, sweetie?
Why don't you go f*** yourself, Tommy?
Oh. You're right. I don't believe what I just heard.
Hey, Spider, here. Yeah, this is for you. Attaboy.
I got respect for this. He's got a lot of f***ing balls. Good for you. Don't take no shit off nobody. He shoots him in the foot. He tells him to go f*** himself. You're going to let him get away with that? You're going to let the punk get away with that? What's the matter? What's the world coming to?
What the f***ing world is coming to? How do you like that?
When the Joe Pesci character is really going over the edge as he's shooting at you, did you feel that Joe Pesci was really doing something transformational in himself in that scene?
Oh, no. I mean, you get into it and you're doing your thing. I mean, I think I was too involved in my thing to, like, be taken out of it and think, wow, he's really going somewhere else. I mean, we were into our own parts and playing it to the hilt. I mean, I never felt he was out of control or that I had to, you know. Although I did get hurt, you know, in the scene when they killed me. In the first take, when I'm getting shot, I hit the ground and I had an actual glass in my hand which shattered. And I sliced two of my fingers open. So I got rushed to a hospital out in Queens, but I had these huge bullet holes and blood all over my chest. And as they rushed me to the hospital, as I went into the hospital, they rushed at me and put me on a stretcher, and I'm trying to explain to them that it was my hand, and they just thought I was delirious and wouldn't listen to anything I was saying and thought, you know, they were going to have to do some kind of, I don't know, trauma surgery or whatever the hell they were going to have to do. And then they finally understood and saw all the rigging for the blood packs and stuff like that, and everybody kind of had a laugh, and it was very funny.
Sounds to me like a very effective way to get by the triage nurse.
It was exactly that. But once they found out that it was just then just my fingers, they made me wait a long time.
Tell me what it was like to work on a movie with De Niro and Joe Pesci and Scorsese.
You know, I learned a lot watching Robert De Niro. I mean, to be 22 years old and all of a sudden be on the set with Robert De Niro and be an Italian kid from New York and be working with this guy, that was like, I mean, it was really a dream. Those 2 days, I mean, the whole experience of being in that proximity was really a dream. But I watched him a lot, and what I watched from him was economy. He would come to the set, and immediately when he'd be on the set, he wouldn't kind of dissipate his energies. He would be very focused and immediately start to be involved with his props or his, you know, if he was sitting at the card table, when he got to the set, he'd sit down, he'd get his drink and, you know, his prop drink and his props and shuffle the cards or whatever. But I remember watching him on the set, no time was ever wasted, like just kind of sitting around, you know, talking or just, you know, socializing or anything like that. When they cut, he would leave the set. Like he treated the space of the set as something almost sacred, not to be wasted, not to expend superfluous energy on that, like a, you know, like a stage. When an actor does a play, you come onto the stage and you do your part and then you get off the stage. And it seemed he was treating the movie set the same way. Whereas a movie set, you can come on and just like talk and fool around. And some people do that and that's fine. But economy was the thing that I kept seeing that he was doing to keep his energies there. So when the camera's rolling and he's doing a take, you can have your energy be full out.
So you were 22. Did you want to talk to De Niro all about The Godfather and Taxi Driver, or did you want to leave him alone?
No. The first day, Scorsese came up to me and said, the only thing I ask of you is on and off camera you treat them as their characters, which actually was very freeing because I would have been a nervous, stumbling, fan if I had to say, well, what was it like doing this or that? You know, this actually took the pressure off because the first time I actually was in the room with De Niro, he came and sat down on the set and I went up to him and asked him what he wanted to drink because I was in charge of the drinks. And he kind of just looked at me and then he said, I'll take a shot of scotch and a glass of water. There was no alcohol on the set. It was all props, but it made it very easy because I didn't have to be, you know, he didn't have to be one of the greatest actors of all time, and I'm this, you know, young guy who admires him so much. Although, in essence, that's kind of what our characters were, because he was a very well-respected mobster, and I was someone who looked up to him. But I didn't break that character till I was done with the 2 days, and I said goodbye to him, and he was very kind and offered me words of encouragement, and that was it. But it made it very easy to do that.
My guest is Michael Imperioli. He plays Christopher Moltisanti on The Sopranos. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Michael Imperioli. He plays Tony Soprano's nephew, Christopher, on The Sopranos. Anyone in your family or extended family ever say to you, Michael, why are you doing all these mafia roles? It stereotypes Italians.
Not in my family. Also, the funny thing is, I think I've done about maybe 35 or something more than that movies, a handful of TV roles, a bunch of plays. And out of all those roles, I think I've only done about 4, maybe 5 mobsters.
But some of those are your best known work.
The people love those movies and stuff. So that's, I mean, I've never felt typecast because I've always, you know, since I started working,
Well, you were on Dean, and I shot Andy Warhol.
Yeah, I've always
been. You were in a lot of independent films playing all kinds of characters.
I've been offered a range of characters, and I haven't felt typecast. The thing about Sopranos is it's not like doing a movie. This is something that's over an extended period of time. You know, now we're in our second season. So, I mean, we've already shot 26 episodes, so that's 26 hours, which is, you know, about 13 feature film. So that's a lot of time spent on one character, but that's the nature of doing TV, and it's a luxury when you're playing characters that are so, you know, thought out and working with such great material and great company.
Now, on The Sopranos, you work with a lot of character actors, many of whom are from an older generation than you are. And I'm wondering if you think that the opportunities for character actors are different for your generation than older generations, in part because a lot of actors like you have started off in independent films or like you had their own production companies, and therefore more kind of more freedom and more flexibility, more opportunity?
I think there's just more opportunity. I think there's just a lot more things to act in these days. I mean, there's just, look at how many channels there are. You have to, you know, you got to fill those up with stuff. You know, before when I was growing up, there was, 5 channels. There wasn't really an independent film thing the way there is today. There wasn't a lot of low-budget movies. There was people who made films independently, you know, like Cassavetes and people like that, but there wasn't a ton of, like, low-budget films being made in New York that you can, as a young actor, start to get into and cut your teeth on. I think back then it was a lot more closed, you know, it was a lot more hard to break in.
I'm wondering if any of the character actors have spoken to you, or if you've overheard them talking to each other about some of the frustrations that they've faced not having leading men good looks.
No, I think you're better off because there's a lot fewer leading men. See, it's and a lot fewer parts. I mean, if you think about it, in 1 year, how many leading men roles are there, and how many actors get to fill those things out? You know, because you got to be box office if you're going to be a leading man and a big star. There's only a handful of people who fill those shoes. Whereas if you're, you know, if you can do that and you're in that world, then you're set. But for character actors who are not of that kind of type, there's, you know, lots of parts, some big, some small, some medium that you can, you know, all the time. So I think it's a little bit easier.
What else do you have coming up?
The March 12th episode that premieres is something that is an episode that I wrote, which was a lot of fun. And,
well, that's the episode right after the episode in which you got shot.
That's right.
So does that mean that you had the power to determine what happens to your character, or were that you given parameters and you could write within them?
Both.
Okay, and you're not going to tell us anything.
I can't.
Right.
No, you know what it is? I wouldn't want to spoil it for anybody.
Right. Right.
I don't even tell my family.
It's like being in the CIA.
It's, I guess so. I wonder.
Michael Imperioli. He plays Christopher Moltisanti on The Sopranos. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.